hope, belonging is found in a sense of covenantal togetherness that is marked through sacred time. And the rebirth of the moon acts for us thereby as a beacon in the dark, a sign of an ever-reborn, eternal Jewish people. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 21, One Small Moon for Mankind. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Those that have listened to my podcast know that I am extremely interested in anecdotes about astronauts. Some of my favorite stories include Gene Cernan, last man on the moon, writing his daughter's initials in the lunar dust before he departed. Ilan Ramon, the heroic first Israeli in space, who sought to sanctify the Sabbath while in orbit. Michael Collins, the third astronaut on the mission to the moon, who had to continue onto the dark side of the moon, completely out of contact with humanity, so that he, in a certain sense, was one of the last to learn that the mission had succeeded and that Neil Armstrong had taken his small step for man that was a giant leap for mankind. But perhaps the funniest concerns the second-to-last man on the moon, Harrison Schmitt, who departed the lunar surface right before Gene Cernan and ultimately became a senator from New Mexico. When his political opponent chose to challenge him 6 years later, he had to come up with an attack ad that would creatively criticize a national hero, one of the last men to have been where few had ever gone before. And so he ran a brilliant ad which said, "Harrison Schmitt, what on earth has he done for you lately?" We bear this in mind as we consider today a mitzvah concerning the moon, which is actually all about what we are obligated to do on earth. The first commandment bestowed to Moses on the eve of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, is a verse that Maimonides cites as a mitzvah. HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim. This month shall be for you the first month, which means not only that the month in which the Exodus occurred marks the beginning of the lunar year, but also, according to the rabbis, that the Jewish people is obligated to construct a calendar linked to the lunar cycle. Until several centuries after the destruction of the Second Temple, this commandment was fulfilled month after month through witnesses that would look out at a sky with stars but very little light. After the moon had waned that past week and suddenly saw a small sliver of light, they would report the witnessing of the new moon to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, and the court, in turn, would declare the new month to have begun. What occurs when no moon was witnessed, or how the calendar of Jewish time functions today, will be part of our discussion in tomorrow's podcast. For now, let us note that for Judaism, the emphasis in the verse is above all to be found in the word lachem. This month is for you, the first of months, meaning the new month is given to you, to human beings. I, God is saying, am relying on you to sanctify the month. This is the Judaic understanding of this verse at the beginning of Exodus chapter 12. What this means is that Judaism marks sacred time in two different ways. We have no ability to determine when the Sabbath begins. We cannot stop the sun from setting. That is why the blessing of the day in our liturgy is, "Blessed are you, God, Mekadesh HaShabbat, who sanctifies the Sabbath," meaning you, God, alone sanctify it. In contrast, the lunar calendar involves the activity of the Sanhedrin. Thus, the blessing said, as new months are marked, is, "Blessed are you, God, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rashei Chodashim." Blessed are you, God, who sanctifies Israel, who in turn sanctifies the new month. And because the holidays in the Jewish calendar are linked to the lunar cycle, we say as well in our prayers on those festive days, "Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim." Blessed are you, God, who sanctifies Israel, who in turn, through the calendar, sanctifies these moments in time. We must understand the profound poetry and the sublime symbolism of what it means to mark a moment in sacred time based on seeing a small sliver of the moon, a tiny flash of a moon reborn. For Judaism, the new moon is a sign of hope that is meant to teach us about ourselves. We are all at times, as it were, in the dark, in spiritual stasis. We also may feel our existence darkened by a sense of loneliness. But for Judaism, hope, belonging is found in a sense of covenantal togetherness that is marked through sacred time. And the rebirth of the moon acts for us thereby as a beacon in the dark, a sign of an ever-reborn, eternal Jewish people. Michael Collins, who was all alone as his craft journeyed to the dark side of the moon, actually strikingly emphasized upon return to Earth that what had occurred, what had been achieved, was attained not only because of the efforts of the three astronauts, but because of their connectedness to so many others, because of their indebtedness to so many others. Collins said, "This trip of ours to the moon may have looked to you simple or easy. All you see is the three of us. But beneath the surface are thousands and thousands of others. And to all those I would like to say, thank you very much." Thus did a man who many had described as one who had gone through one of the loneliest experiences in all existence, journeying to the dark side of the moon by himself, emphasize his connectedness to so many. And similarly, ladies and gentlemen, in our world, we can find ourselves in a state akin to Collins, cut off in the dark. But in the end, the small sliver of light at the heart of the Jewish calendar reminds us of our mission on Earth. I'm indebted to Rabbi Alex Israel for citing a remarkable passage from the 19th century rabbi of Frankfurt, Samson Raphael Hirsch, who ponders the fact that the declaration of the new moon relies on two witnesses, not merely on the cycle of nature. The meaning, Rabbi Hirsch wrote, is that, quote, God wants his people to find him again and again and to be illuminated with fresh rays of his light wherever and however, in running their course, they have had to pass through periods of darkness and obscurity. Or, as Rabbi Alex Israel adds, the new moon tells us that even if we have become eclipsed from God, we can and must find him again and become connected to the rays of his light. End quote. In other words, the spectrum of sacred time relies on two witnesses that saw a small sliver of light in the dark sky. And we too must witness in our own lives the message of the moon, which is the endurance of Jewish hope. Or as Rabbi Israel puts it, quote, in life we too wax and wane. And he adds further, the moon is a constant message. We celebrate rebirth and renewal on a monthly basis. We hope that we too can re-experience the excitement of finding the rays of God touching our lives. End quote. The film about the life of Gene Cernan, titled The Last Man on the Moon, describes a letter that he wrote to his daughter many years before, which stated, "You're almost too young to know what it means to have your daddy go to the moon, but one day you'll have the feeling of excitement and pride mommy and daddy do. We have lots of camping and horseback riding to do when I get back. I want you to look at the moon because when you are reading this, daddy is almost there." For us, the small glimmer of light found in the moon reborn is a symbol of an eternal people that always created a rendezvous between themselves and their Father in heaven, thereby continuing to sanctify their lives here on earth. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.